السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والشهداء والصالحين وعترة نبيك الطاهرين. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والسماء ذات البروج، واليوم الموعود، وشاهد ومشهود. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Chapter 85 in the Quran, Surah Al-Buruj, is said to have been revealed in the holy city of Mecca. And it's one of the final chapters of the Quran, and within that, a number of concepts are mentioned. In that, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the constellations, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, and by the promised day, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. And among the groups of people who are mentioned in reference in the Quran, people who fought for their belief, who paid a price for fighting for their belief, are the ones that are mentioned in verse number 4. The ones that were persecuted by the ones mentioned in verse number 4. And verse number 4 is قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. And أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, it is said, were a group of people that lived in Yemen. And some commentaries say that they were Christian in faith, some say that they were Zoroastrian in faith, but regardless of what their belief was, we know that they were believers, and they were killed because of their belief. So the commentary tells us, and just a little bit of the backstory of history, that there was a king in Yemen. And this happened, this whole story happened about 50 years before the birth of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So roughly in the year 523, Common Era, that there were a group of believers in Yemen, and they were persecuted by a king there who had converted to Judaism, the Nawas. And because his subjects did not share the same belief as him, he ordered that at the beginning of the roads, there were pits which were to be dug, and within those pits, fire would be kindled. And that's why they became known as Ashabul Ukhdud. Ukhdud is the plural of that word, which refers to the pits that were full of fire. And when those pits were dug, the believers were tested. They were asked about their beliefs. Those who truly believed were pushed into the fire. Those who renounced their beliefs were given a pass that they could pass through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns the people, that subject, because it was not just one king, it was a king and his people. And the Quranic verses condemn not only the people that stood by the king, that actually delivered the punishment, that were the pit diggers, if you will, and the fire starters, but also the people that stood by and watched. There's a lesson in that. That those people who stand by and watch while oppression and mischief takes place, it is as if they have a hand in that oppression and that mischief. And there are a number of verses in the Quran, and there are a number of narrations that speak to that effect. That if an injustice or an oppression is happening in front of you, and you don't do anything about it, and you're able to do something about it, sometimes we're not able to do something about it, but sometimes you are able. It is within your reach, it is within your grasp, it's within your control. Then you are counted amongst the people who have committed the oppression, or committed the crime, or the injustice. And so this is one group of people that gave their life for their belief, for what they stood for. Another group of people that are mentioned in the Quran are Ashabul Kahf. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. They refer to as أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. Raqim refers the people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf, and chapter number 18 of the Quran is referred to as Suratul Kahf, the chapter of the cave. It describes the cave in which they took refuge in. Al-Raqim refers to some sort of something which is written on a tablet, is referred to as Raqim. And it is said that once they took refuge into that cave, the king that was pursuing them, that was persecuting them, closed off the mouth of the cave, the entrance to the cave, and had written a certain inscription on a tablet on the door of that cave that it is to be remain shut, it has to remain closed. So this is why they refer to as Ashabul Kahfi wa Raqim. Another group of people that gave their life for something that they believed in. And, their story is mentioned in the Quran that they were away they were asleep in that cave for about 300 years. And when they woke up, their hair was long, their nails were long, their dog that was accompanying them had turned into bones. The currency that they had was outdated. When they went to town in order to purchase some food, they looked at them like, where are you from? The currency is outdated. Another person who's mentioned in reference, in that sort of reference in the Quran, is, of course, not mentioned by name, but mentioned by reference. And by the way, the Quran mentions many people by reference and not by name. There's a point behind that. The name is not important. The name of the person is not always important. Some people say, well, why are certain names mentioned in the Quran and why are not certain names mentioned in the Quran? If the imams are so important, why are their names not mentioned in the Quran? Because there's nothing special, nothing significant about a name being mentioned in the Quran. Abu Lahab is mentioned in the Quran by name or by kunya, similar to name. But he's cursed. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. So there's nothing special about a name being mentioned in the Quran, but there is reference that is mentioned in the Quran. And this third person is mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter 36. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And from the corner of the town, there was a man who came, who warned the people. And he warned the people and admonished them to follow the messengers, because the story behind that is that there was a group of messengers that had come to these specific people that are being described in chapter 36, and they would reject them. And so finally a man came and said, well, what are you doing? Why do you reject them? To that, there's an interesting narration. It says the following, and this narration is attributed to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It says the following, that the Prophet said, the foremost among the people, so the Prophet is describing three people in this narration, that the foremost among the people are three who did not disbelieve in God for the blinking of an eye. That phrase, that phrase is particular, طرفة عين, for the blinking of an eye. Meaning that no matter what, they would not renounce their belief. They did not give up their belief. And these are three people, the Prophet says, that are at the forefront. He describes them. He says, number one, Ali ibn Abi Talib. That's number one. Number two, the companion of Yasin, meaning the gentleman here who is mentioned in Surah Yasin, who narrations refer to his name as Habib al-Najjar. And the third is the believer among the people of Fir'aun, Mu'min al-Fir'aun. Because in the story of Fir'aun, as Fir'aun is, you know, he's persecuting the people, he's misguiding the people, there's a believer that stands up and says, well, I believe in what Musa believes in. I believe in what Musa and Harun believe in. And he is referred to as Mu'min al-Fir'aun. A Mu'min who just sprout out from the people of Fir'aun. Those are the three people that the Prophet refers to as the foremost among the people. The elite of the elite. And you know what's interesting about these stories is that, you know, these are people who not only had belief, but they also esteemed and they valued their belief. Why did they esteem and they value? You know, usually we esteem and we value something when we have to earn or fight for something. When something is just handed to you, when it's given to you, it's not usually esteemed or valued in the way that it should. But some people earn and they fight for belief. Last night I spoke about the Banu Asad who are mentioned in the Quran. Mentioned in chapter number 49, Surah Al-Hujurat. These are the people that are described in the verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. These are the people who came to Medina at a time where the Muslims were experiencing relative prosperity, when they had emerged from Mecca as victims into victors in Medina. They had developed, you know, they had a developed economy, there was order, they had developed self-sufficiency. They can now defend themselves successfully. And so that prosperity attracted the A'rab. And the A'rab are the Bedouins, the nomad Bedouins, who were travelers. And they would, you know, up until that time, they would travel in order to find resources. And so they had run out of resources. They had experienced some sort of drought or whatever it was. And so they had come to Medina. And the example that I gave, for those of you who remember, the example that I gave was like when someone wants to migrate to the United States of America. There are certain requirements that have to be fulfilled in order for you to migrate. Now, once you migrate, that doesn't automatically give you all the rights and advantages and privileges as a citizen. Right? So in order to vote and in order to pay taxes, and in order to do all of that fun stuff, you have to be a citizen. It's not just a migrant. But in order to be a citizen, there are also extra conditions that must be fulfilled. And for those of you who have taken the citizenship test, sometimes there's a language requirement that's involved. Sometimes if you already know the language, then you have to, they'll give you a booklet to study about the history of the United States. They might ask you some of those questions. You have to have a clean record, you have to have, you know, taxes paid and all of that, so that you can prove that you belong, so that you can prove that you're a citizen. It's something that you have to esteem and value and earn. But if a person comes to the country, and whatever country this is, it doesn't have to be this country, it could be any country, doesn't want to follow the rules, doesn't want to obey, but wants all of the advantages, wants all of the privileges, then that doesn't really work out. In that same way, the Quran is telling these people that, you know, this belief, and we spoke about the three examples of people who had belief that they were willing to stand for. This belief is something which will not penetrate your heart simply by a verbal commitment. The verbal commitment allows you to enter. The verbal commitment allows you to be a migrant. As soon as you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, you fulfill that commitment. But iman becomes another level. And that's why the Quran says, قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. What's more appropriate for you to say is أسلمنا, that we have entered the religion of Islam. And then after that, your iman will eventually, if you are dedicated to the cause, if you prove yourself, and the next verse describes what it means to prove yourself. People who are invested, meaning that they have fought, they have given life and limb, they have sacrificed. A lot of those Muslims had sacrificed. A lot of them had, the ones who had migrated from Mecca, they had sacrificed. They had left their businesses and their livelihoods, and some of them went against their family members in order to be part of this new community. So when we esteem something, it's usually because we had to fight for it. It's usually because we had to earn it. And that's why there's a test. You're not given automatic citizenship. You have to prove. Whereas if someone is born into a country, many countries, not all countries, it's somehow assumed that they're already dedicated to the country just because they're born there. So that's why it's very, very important to be rooted in principle and have the right values, and ask yourself where your values and principles come from. Because if you stand for something, you're more likely to fight for something. People who are maybe born into a certain faith group or a certain religion and don't understand the value of that faith usually are not willing to defend it and stand up for it. We get the question all the time that how do we strengthen and bulletproof our children and our youth? And many people, unfortunately, they wait till their children become young adults, reach a certain age, before they start introducing them to the values and the principles of Islam. There's a wisdom behind the narrations that tell us to introduce those values and instill those values in your children at a young age, even if they are not mukallaf, meaning that even if they are not religiously held liable or accountable. Because values, they take a while to be instilled. Principles, they take a while to be instilled. It's not something that simply happens overnight, that you decide, okay, these are my values and these are my principles. Why? Because your values are, they develop over time. They develop over habits. They develop over certain people that you associate with. They develop because of certain things that you listen to and you read. And that's why it's important for us to protect our ears and our eyes and the people that we associate, because all of that pours into our values. When we talk about having strong faith and strong conviction, how is it that people are willing to risk life and limb in order to protect what they stand for? That's when you stand by principle, and that's when you stand by value. So the people that are mentioned in these verses, the people that were killed by Ashab al-Ukhdud, or the one that is mentioned in Surah Yasin, or Ashab al-Kahf, these are people that actually believed in something because they had to fight for something. So the question is, what do you believe in and what do you stand for? All of us, we have values. Whether we've thought about it or not, we all have values, things that we value. And if you haven't figured out what your values are, think, where do I spend the most amount of time? Where do I spend the most amount of physical and mental energy? Where do I spend my money? And then you'll figure out some of the things that you value. Some of us, when we talk about professional athletes have a certain dedication. So if someone wants to become a professional basketball player, they have a dedication to practicing basketball. They have a dedication and a commitment. Some of us, we have areas and things in our life that we're very committed to, we're very dedicated to, and those are the things that we value. Some people are very dedicated and committed to TV. When a certain show comes on, when a series comes on, and we're all guilty of this, it's that before anything else. It's that before work. It's that before family. It's that before God. It's that before worship. That's one of the things that you value. Some people value their job above everything else. So where even if their family is suffering because the mother or the father or the person who has that job or that occupation is dedicated to it so much that they've neglected what's truly important, which is family. And so if you want to figure out what your values are, you ask yourself, where am I spending my most mental energy? Mental energy is important. We're always thinking about certain things. Where am I spending my most physical energy? Where am I spending my most money? Where am I spending my most time? Who am I associating with? Those are values. And then you have principles. Principles are different than values. Principles are fundamental truths that serve as a foundation or a basis for the behavior that allows you to get what you want out of life. And there are a number of authors that have written about this. And one of those authors is Stephen Covey. He says, ask yourself, what are your principles? Write them down. You have to write it down on paper as well. Not on your phone. Write it down on paper. It's a forgotten tradition, writing on paper. Write down on paper, what are my principles? What are my values? What do I believe in? You know, if you do an audit of your relationships, a lot of us, you know, we have these randomly gathered relationships, right? We have people that are randomly gathered in our lives. If you do an audit of those relationships and you ask those people that you've spent 5 or 10 or 15 years in, you know, sometimes we spend so much time with a person, but we don't know some of the things that they value. We don't know some of the things that, some of the principles that they build their life on. Because up until then, all the time that you've spent with that person has been based on a shared activity. You know, you like to, I don't know, play badminton together. Or you like to go hiking together. It's that one strand that keeps you together. And many relationships fail. I talk about relationships in terms of chosen relationships. So friendships, a lot of friendships fail. And a lot of husband and wife relationships fail because those relationships were not based on, they were just based on shared interests. They were not shared on principles. They were not shared on common values. And that's why if you've ever asked one of those friends, what are some of the things that you value? Most people do not have those conversations. Why do I bring up all this? Because it's important to be rooted in principle. All of the heroes that we admire in the story of Islam, when we look at the Prophet, when we look at Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, all of the companions that we also esteem, why did they give up their life and sacrifice their life? Because they determined in the beginning what their principles were, what their values were, what their non-negotiables were. Have you ever asked yourself, what are some of the things that I'm not willing to negotiate on? What are some of the things that I'm not willing to give up? Most people don't even ask themselves those questions. So it's important to ask yourself those questions and write them down on paper. Because if you're going to do anything significant, if you're going to be a true believer, if you're going to take ownership and claim your faith, you have to have principles that guide you, that you can build upon. Because if you don't, then people who don't stand for nothing, they fall for anything. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that strength in this holy month, the month of Sha'ban, and in the coming month, the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be recipients of His compassion, of His guidance, and His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to all people worldwide who are asking or who are in need of our supplication. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والشهداء والصالحين وعتبة نبيك الطاهرين علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البلعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى صدق نبي الرحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوان عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. So continuing what we were speaking about, there's a narration, or in one of the sermons of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he talks about, he describes two types of iman, two types of faith. One is known as iman, iman al-mustaqir, and the other is known as iman al-mustawda, or mustawda. And what that refers to is one type of faith, which is mustawda. Mustawda means what? What does mustawda mean? When we say wadi'a, what is wadi'a? Something which is loaned or borrowed. So something which is temporary. So there's faith which is borrowed, it's loaned, it's temporary, it's not rooted. And then there is imanun mustaqar or mustaqir. Iman which is rooted. It's deeply rooted. It's stable. And there are characteristics to both. You know, one of the things that I mentioned also last night is sometimes people claim that they have faith, and that's why the verse talks about faith being developed over time, and then who are the faithful? The faithful are الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَغْتَابُوا, meaning that they have no riba, they have no doubt. Or when they do have doubt, they don't allow their doubt to take hold of them so that they backtrack and they backpedal. And one of the stories that's particular in this case is the story of the Battle of Hunain.